This morning from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. King Solomon summoned into his presence at Jerusalem the elders of Israel, all the heads of the tribes, and the chiefs of the Israelite families, to bring up the Ark of the Lord's Covenant from Zion, the city of David. The priests then brought the Ark of the Lord's Covenant to its place in the inner sanctuary of the temple, the most holy place, and put it beneath the wings of the cherubim. When the priest withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled his temple. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel, spread out his hands toward heaven, and said, Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants, who continue wholeheartedly in your way. You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it, as it is today. Now, Lord, the God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, the promises you made to him when you said, You shall never fail to have a successor to sit before me on the throne of Israel. If only your descendants are careful in all they do, to walk before me faithfully as you have done. And now, God of Israel, let your word that you promised your servant David, my father, come true. But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you, how much less this temple I have built. Yet give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy. Lord, my God, hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence this day. May your eyes be open toward this temple night and day, this place of which you said, My name shall be there. So that you will hear the prayer your servant prays toward this place. Hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. As for the foreigner who does not belong to your people Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your name, for they will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm. When they come and pray toward this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place. Do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your own people, Israel. I may know that this house I've built bears your name.
Can I give it a shot? Good morning. Steve, are we good? All right, thank you. Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you all today. Thanks for being here. I want to make a quick note to let you know that our good friend Mary Odell is retiring after 16 years of working at Southwest Memorial Hospital. The staff there has been celebrating her these last few days. And so let's give a round of applause for Mary. We're so grateful for her and her service. Mary, we love you and we appreciate you and looking forward to, I know, you get to actually sleep during the night in the future. And so many of you came to Robert's funeral yesterday. Thank you for coming and being a part of that, and more of you were here to help serve behind the scenes next door. I know the family is especially grateful for that service. Well, we've made it to the end of our summer series, today being the last Sunday of it. It's been a wild ride, a challenging one, a beautiful one, working our way through 1st and 2nd Samuel and dipping our toes into 1st Kings. We've reheard favorite stories from childhood, and we've listened to the parts of the Bible that get less attention. Samuel's calling as a child woke us with a start, just as it did him. And we prayed with him, "Lord, speak, for your servant listens." We fretted when Israel decided they wanted a king so they could be like all the other nations. We watched David grow up before our very eyes, from a last in line shepherd boy to a teenager with a huge heart and a few rocks, to a runaway who grieved the life of his enemy, Saul, to a king, the ruler of all the land with all its vast potential and pitfalls before him. We celebrated as David defeated his foes and united a nation. We covered our eyes when he stole Bathsheba from Uriah. We pointed our fingers at David when Nathan called him out and said, "You are that man, David." And then realized we had to point that finger back on ourselves. We reflected with old David about his life and ours as his lungs were taking in some of his last breaths, and gave thanks. Last week, Solomon took his place on the throne, praying for wisdom and getting it, though he struggled to use his wisdom as a means for seeking the God who gave it to him. Before I go further, I want to make mention of this list, and I apologize for the smaller text up there. Hopefully you can see it. I think this list demonstrates clearly one way how God's Spirit has been guiding us, specifically on Sunday mornings during this hour. In the 11 weeks, not including Reggie's presentation, we had 8 different people preach. Sermons flowed one into the next as a collective whole rather than disjointed parts, a single river rather than branched off tributaries. Each had a different style, a different flavor. Some of them moved us deeply. Some of them ruffled our feathers. Some of them, quite frankly, went over our heads. All of them were encouraging in one way or another. As I look back over the summer, I am reminded that we are a congregation of preachers, a multi-voiced people who speak the same cross-bearing language. When someone asks you, "Who's your preacher at church?" you can say, "We are." What a beautiful and unique gift we have been given. And it's not just sermons. We've had services that varied from one Sunday to the next. A day of prayer here, a day of table fellowship there. We had women read scripture with tears and men volunteer with eagerness to pray. And children speak the Lord's Prayer with confidence. People gave impromptu testimony. We commissioned a team going to serve in Mexico. We blessed Robert Perez before he moved to San Antonio. We gave of our resources to BIM and to SHRN and to the YMCA and to the continuing mission of this congregation. We implored God to heal bodies and we laid hands on the sick. We broke bread together. Our purpose every time we meet is to spur one another on in faith and to send us out yet again to love the world that God loves so much. That is why we meet. I pray that this summer you've experienced just that. In spite of our weaknesses, or perhaps because of our weaknesses, God's Spirit is alive and active among us. Let us trust that God will continue to do so. Thanks be to God. Solomon had so much to be thankful for as well. In his days, there was peace and not war. There was regional stability in a conflict-ridden part of the world and an economic windfall as a result. He made alliances with neighboring countries and upheld treaties set forth by his father David. He had time to write 1,000 songs and 3 times as many proverbs. Solomon's wisdom led him to understand how the natural world worked. And he was a part-time botanist, a part-time zoologist, and a highly sought-after professor. And Solomon had a magnificent house that was built for him. 13 years it took, a bit longer than the construction manager had promised him, but hey, what can you do? Solomon indeed had much to be thankful for, which is why he held back nothing when the temple was finally complete. King David had wanted to be the one to build the temple of God since he didn't like the fact that God lived in a tent. God was predictably lukewarm to the idea of a permanent home with a roof. God was much more concerned about making his people themselves his forever home. Solomon moved forward with the temple idea anyway, a monument to the God of Israel, their God, who had done so much for them. The people would worship Yahweh there. And God allowed it with a disclaimer. The word of the Lord came to Solomon, "As for this temple you are building, if you follow my decrees and observe my laws and keep all my commands and obey them, I will fulfill through you the promise I gave to David your father. And I will live among the Israelites and will not abandon my people Israel." No expense was spared, neither in the temple's production, which took 7 years, nor its completion. It was a marvelous structure. Opening day is a sight to see, as Pat just read for us. All of Israel comes for the ribbon-cutting ceremony. Heads of state and district officials join the pomp and circumstance. Royal priests and Levites carry the sacred Ark of the Covenant to the inner recesses of the temple. But Solomon himself is the one who will break the bottle of champagne against the side of the building. He stands and he prays and he dedicates the temple and the people to God. From here on out, the temple will center the Israelite and Jewish life of faith. There are a couple of things I'd like to point out specifically and then think about what it has to do with us. The first is the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark, as you may know, carried the tablets of the law that God gave to Moses some 400 years prior. The Ark and its tablets recalls the Exodus, when God rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. And it recalls the way of life God set forth before the people, the Ten Commands. So the Ark is a big deal, even taking on a mystical aura about it the longer the Israelites had it in their possession. Caleb talked about that back in July. After the Ark was brought to the temple, 1 Kings says this, "When the priests came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord." It was the second time something like this had happened. In the book of Exodus, the Israelite people built a tabernacle, which is kind of like a mobile temple. And they wandered across the deserts and across the wilderness for 4 decades. They could pack up the tabernacle and move it wherever they went next. At the completion of the tabernacle, Exodus 40 says this, "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." The cloud of God filled the temple for static Israel, just as the cloud had filled the tabernacle for the nomadic Israel. Mysterious, hidden, wrapped in frightening darkness so thick that Moses then and the priests now cannot even do their jobs. In the presence of the living God, people, no matter their title, stop. God with them, in a three-dimensional, full-splendored glory, rather than impersonal and flatlined. Yet there is a danger in full identification of God within a certain place, no matter how holy humans design the place to be. People might start to claim ownership and control since God lives with them. Or they'd start thinking they could summon the God of the temple like they could the genie of the bottle. At the dedication ceremony, Solomon understood this danger when he said, "But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you, how much less this temple I have built. Can it be that God will actually move into the neighborhood? The cosmos itself is not large enough to give God breathing room, let alone this temple." Even Solomon, in his human wisdom, knows that the God of all creation will not actually reside in this ornate man-made building. God is not going to sign a lease. He needs no down payment, no friends to help unpack the U-Haul. Yahweh is a roaming, moving, free God who will not be boxed in or domesticated by a temple or any other place of worship for that matter. The temple at its best can be a mediator of sorts, a go-between place where people can seek God and find God, at least find God's name. But the temple is not God's permanent address. So then, we have this abiding tension. Yahweh God, present, yet transcendence. Here, yet not solely. Near, yet far. Thick cloud, yet unseizable. God, then, for Solomon's Israel and for us, is beyond our grasp, but within our reach. Past our knowing, but within our searching. This tension is both humbling and freeing. It's humbling because no matter what building we use or words we read, we can never ever have the corner market on God. It's freeing because we don't have to. That is good news, especially for the Israelite people who were exiled away from Jerusalem after the temple was reduced to rubble. It meant, hopefully, that God wasn't just there. God could be here too. It's good news also for us who want to follow Jesus. John puts it this way, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth." Jesus, the name and face of God in human body, tabernacled among us, moved into the neighborhood. God's free movement toward us and not the other way around. Solomon continues his prayer in verse 31 to 53, and there are seven central petitions. Though the prayers are different, all of them are linked by two things, the word "when" and the phrase "hear from heaven." When a person wrongs his neighbor, hear from heaven. When Israel has been defeated, hear from heaven. When there is no rain, when there is famine or plagues or disease or disaster, when a foreigner comes and prays toward this temple, when fighting against enemies happen when Israel has been taken captive to another land here from heaven. The seven prayers are a catalog of crises during which an answer to prayer would have been crucial. I have been wronged, God. There is no rain, God. There is disease, God. There is war, and we've been taken hostage. Hear from heaven. Listen, move, come, rescue, be near. Solomon may have prayed these prayers in his present time, prayed them at the moment of the temple dedication. But you can probably see how these prayers would have been clung to when the actual events named in the prayer were taking place. We have our when prayers too, don't we? They're not all that different from Solomon's and Israel's. When I have hurt someone else, God, hear from heaven. When someone has hurt me, hear from heaven. When the world suffers from drought or Ebola or rampages at schools, hear. When strangers seek you, hear. When war rages and genocide ensues and the ills of past national sins linger, hear. We pray these prayers in advance because we've lived long enough to know that these things will happen. We pray these prayers in the midst of what's happening because we trust or attempt to trust that God will not only hear from heaven, but also tend to earth. All of our winds and hear from heavens, those are rooted in Solomon's words as he prays, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or earth below, keeping covenant and steadfast love with your servants who walk before you with all their heart. With everything I've got, I'm trusting that God loves with a never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. Let's sing this song, Covenant of Love, one more time.
O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or earth below. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or earth below. You keep your covenant of love, your covenant of love. O Lord, there is no God like you in heaven above.
God's covenant of love calls us to expand our when prayers, adding to the list. Hurricane Harvey can be one of those. It's hard to believe it's been a full year since that bedraggled friend of ours visited. It's been a full year since we waited out the storm 4 days, 5 days. It's been a year since the endless Harvey news cycle, a year since neighborhoods were inundated with a million billion drops of rain. It's been a year since Kay's Facebook posts about rain gauge measurements, not in inches, but in feet. It's been a year since Winnie and Brenda hitched a ride on rescue boats. It's been a year since Kumi lost her apartment and Brent lost his car and Stanley lost his bed. It's been a year since knee-high bayou water invaded my home for a second time, intruding silently and violently on my family's sacred space and claimed it as its own. It's hard to believe it's been a year since pictures like this. We had a prayer then, didn't we? When hurricanes make landfall and floodwaters rise, and we don't know what to do or where to go, hear from heaven, God. And God, in steadfast love, while the storm frenzied on, heard. It's also been a year since we saw these pictures. It's been a year since James and Jessica hunkered down at hospitals to work as hard as they've ever had. It's been a year since David Pipes called through the church directory to check on you. It's been a year since this picture, when Neil waded through waist-deep water to get to Betty, and then waist-deep back with him holding her hand. It's been a year since 15 of you and 10 people I did not know came and gutted my home like a fish, ripping out its walls, hauling waterlogged couches to the carports, bubble wrapping salvageable items. Many of these pictures I showed you are from a project that Caleb McDaniel and a group of others are collaborating on. They've developed a collective memory bank of pictures and videos and firsthand accounts of Harvey experiences as an attempt to humanly document the traumatic event. The Harvey Memories website welcomes your pictures and videos and reports as well, and you can talk to Caleb about that and learn more information, or you can visit this website. James, you can go to the next one. Not that we could ever forget Harvey's foreboding, of course, but as a storytelling people, it can be healing to listen to narratives that have shaped us, even the difficult ones. As believers, it's yet another reminder of how God's steadfast love has sustained us and upheld us. And so we sing this song again.
O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like You in heaven or earth below. O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like You in heaven above. You keep Your covenant of love. Your covenant of love. O Lord, there is no God like You in heaven above.
Are not all positioned for catastrophes, thankfully. Wind prayers are also for breaks in the storm, and peaceful holidays with grown children, and Sabbath rests away from work. Many of you here watched Marquell Easter grow up. He grew up from a little boy who ran around this church building to a young man who pounded the football as a high school running back. I remember those games. To a college graduate, to a full-time school teacher. Along the way, he thankfully met Brittany, who is bright and kind, and whom many of us have come to respect and honor and appreciate. And along came baby Mark and baby Maya, and I understand that there is always a mad scramble by the nursery staff to hold them after Marquell and Brittany bring them in there. That's what I understand. And so we can pray this way. When babies arrive, and as babies develop, and as parents learn what it means to parent, hear from heaven, O Lord. This morning we want to bless collectively Mark and Maya. So I want to ask Brittany and Marquell, you can both come up. And I know that Brittany, you have an abundance of family. How about y'all join us up here as well? Marquel has family members as well. If you're surrogate family too, you can join us up here. Jerry Watson is going to come forward and give a baby blessing over these two little ones.
Okay, I'm a leaker. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a leaker. So forgive me. So Marquel, I think 17 or 18 or 19 or 20 or 21, I don't even know how many years ago, you came walking through. I'm a pretty loud talker.
Right.
So.
21.
21? Are you kidding me? You grew up in dog years, dude. It's only been three for me. But so 21 years ago, you came walking through those doors. You weren't any bigger than him, even though you were 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah.
You didn't get bigger than him till high school, I don't think, did you? Pretty much true, right?
Yeah.
So you came through those doors, and you've been coming through those doors ever since. Hey, girl. Ever since, and lots of things have happened through those years, some of which I'm not going to talk about because you paid me not to. So I'll just keep those between you and me if that's all right. But many things have happened through those years, and we've watched you grow up, and I just want to say we're proud of you. So proud of you. And then you came through that door, and you brought her. It's like, dude, how did you score this? Seriously. And Brittany, you came through those doors, and I said, this is a good woman. That's what we prayed for, Marquel, a good woman. And I'm seeing behind her. I think I know why. Because I got to meet her parents, and you couldn't ask for anything more for someone that you love is to find someone that they love that is like Brittany. And so through the years, many things happen through those doors, and I think those doors are just kind of, Gus, get over here for crying out loud. I think those doors are just a metaphor or a simile, and Brittany, help me out. I never could tell the difference between the two, but they're just a metaphor for the body of Christ. Somehow, some way, a young boy walked into a body of Christ, and we became your family. You still are. And now you bring these two through those same doors. Unbelievable. It's a story. Let us be part of that story. Let us, the good times and the bad times, let us be at their birthday parties and changing their diapers. Let us see them when they take their first steps and when they give their belly aching temper tantrums. Let us teach them the Bible and help you teach them the Bible. Let us teach them how to grow up to be good Christian people, good people. And we pray that the marriage of the two of you will be strong. You can give no better gift to those two than to have a good, strong marriage. Well, love her with all your heart. Brittany, fix him. Please. Please. No, love him. Just love him. He's a good man. So I want to say this. I hope 16 years from now, just like you and Terry Frame and I used to sit room out there, and I used to try to teach y'all the Bible, and then y'all would fall asleep, and then I'd have to wake you up, and we'd go eat it. It'd be Taco Bell, or my favorite was always the IHOP Second Church. Remember that? I hope someday that I'm trying to teach these two the Bible, and they're teenagers, and they have to wake me up this time, because I fell asleep. And then I hope I get to take them when we go to IHOP, and I sit around a table like we used to sit around, and be part of church family. That's what we pray for them. So Maya, you go, girl. And you grow up to be just like her. Okay? You can do no better. And Mark, you the man. And grow up to be like this man. But Brittany, please, just the good stuff.
Just the good stuff.
Okay? All right. I would like to read now a blessing for the whole church, for these two and for you two. Mark Jeffrey Easter and Maya Elizabeth Easter. This is our prayer for you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. May you become a person who acts justly, loves mercy, and walks humbly with God. May you grow into a person of love, compassion, truth, forgiveness, prayer, peace, grace, joy, and hope. And may you seek not so much to be consoled as to console, not so much to be understood as to understand, not so much to be loved as to love. And whatever you do, in word or deed, may you do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And your church family all says, Amen.
Let's sing our song one more time.
O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or earth below. O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above. You keep your covenant of love, your covenant of love. O Lord, there is no God like you in heaven above.
Our wind prayers draw us to the table. The table of Jesus is where we meet the living Christ in each other. The simple bread, the simple cup, ordinary as they can be, and yet God says, you'll find me there. Paul in 1 Corinthians writes this, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink it. Remember me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Whenever we come to the table, take bread and bless it and break it and give it to one another, saying, "The body of Christ. We know that Jesus is among us. He is among us not as a vague memory of a person who lived a long time ago, but as a real life-giving presence that transforms us now. By eating the body of Christ, the living Christ lives in us, and we are enabled to discover our own blessedness and recognize our own brokenness. Like Jesus himself, we become bread for the world and bread for each other. This morning, you are invited to the table. We have the bread and the cup ready. This morning, you see the tables at the sides. In just a moment, we will gather forward and eat and drink together. And right now, I would like to ask for a couple of volunteers to shepherd both of these tables. I'm asking for two people over here to give the bread and the cup, and two people over here. If you're willing to do that, you can move that direction right now, please. If you prefer to have the cup and the bread brought to your seat, that is just fine. Just raise your hand, and if I can make sure we have a couple volunteers to make sure, thank you, Keyshawn, to make sure those folks get served as well. Here's bread and cup on the table in front of me. As you come to eat, I invite you to take a look also at this tablecloth right in front of me. A few years ago, we started having people of this congregation sign his or her name on the tablecloth as a way to say, I am here, you are here, and together we make up the body of Christ. Come and look at the names that are written, people that we know and love, people we don't know and love anyway, people who have moved away and people who have died. If you are new to Southwest Central, if you have not signed your name on this tablecloth yet, come and do that. I've got a couple markers here. Sign your name if you'd like to. I'm going to pray in just a moment, and you can just come down kind of in between these two sections on this side, and here's a good section over here between these two, and we'll go from there. Let's pray together, and then we'll eat. When we break the bread, when we drink from the cup, when we proclaim Christ and Him crucified and Him risen and Him among us, hear from heaven. It's because of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's eat.
Thank you.
I'm going to make mention of our classes for today. We have Room 101, 1 Corinthians, Survey of the Bible in the Library. Auditorium is 1 Samuel. 106 is Jesus and the Good Life. We have children's classes down the hallway to my right. We have classes for our teenagers, junior high, high school students upstairs down this hallway as well. With school starting tomorrow morning, we would like to have a time of blessing and commissioning. We're doing all sorts of things today, I know. I'm trying to weave it all together. For those who are going into pre-K or up through high school, those in college or graduate school or medical school or obtaining your GED, if you are a student, would you come and join me right up here, please? A student of any kind, you can just come right behind me to my left and to my right. And if you are a teacher or a school administrator or someone who works in the academic setting, a custodian, a librarian, a counselor, a bus driver, if you consider yourself anywhere in a school-type setting, you're welcome to join me right up here. Hi, sweet girl. Hey. Oh, thank you. If you are not up here, I'm going to ask that you participate as well. Would you also please stand right where you are as a sign of support and encouragement to those who are up here? I'm going to come to this side in just a minute. So if you're right there, y'all can come forward just a little bit. Okay, Cora, I'm going to let go, babe, and move up front. Thank you. Our prayer can go something like this, and then followed by the blessing. When our children and friends go to school, and when they learn and teach, and when they are fearful, and when they are poised, hear from heaven, O Lord, God of Israel. First, our blessing, our hopes and desires for you from God as the school year begins. May God be gracious to you and bless you, and make his face shine upon you, that God's ways may be known upon the earth. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May the Lord send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May the Lord remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. And we will shout for joy when you are victorious, and we'll lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. And finally, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And now the commissioning, knowing that you are not only sent to school to learn how to spell big words or study for exams, you are sent to love God and love neighbor. So be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace and seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, because he has anointed you to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent you to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And lastly, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before all people, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And together we say, Amen. Amen. Go in peace.